ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम श्रीमद्भागवतम 10th कैंटो 9th चैप्टर टेक्स्ट नंबर 4। ताम स्तन्य कामासाद्य मत्नन्तिं जननीं हरिः गृहीत्वा दधि मन्थानं न्यषेधत् प्रीतिमावहन्। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada. While Mother Yashoda was churning butter, Lord Krishna, desiring to drink the milk of her breast, appeared before her. In order to increase her transcendental pleasure, he caught hold of the churning rod and began to prevent her from churning. Purport. Krishna was sleeping within the room, and as soon as he got up, he became hungry and went to his mother. Wanting to stop her from churning and drink the milk of her breast, he stopped her from moving the churning rod. So, translation. Mother Yashoda then embraced Krishna, allowed him to sit down on her lap, and began to look upon the face of the Lord with great love and affection. Because of her intense affection, milk was overflowing from her breast. But when she saw that the milk pan on the oven was boiling over, she immediately left her son to take care of the overflowing milk, although the child was not yet fully satisfied with drinking the milk of his mother's breast. Purport. Everything in the household affairs of Mother Yashoda was meant for Krishna. Although Krishna was drinking the breast milk of Mother Yashoda, when she saw that the milk pan in the kitchen was overflowing, she had to take care of it immediately. Thus she left her son, who then became very angry, not having been fully satisfied with drinking the milk of her breast. Sometimes one must take care of more than one item of important business for the same purpose. Therefore, Mother Yashoda was not unjust when she left her son to take care of the overflowing milk. On the platform of love and affection, it is the duty of the devotee to do one thing first and the other things later. The proper intuition by which to do this is given by Krishna. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. Bhagavad Gita 10.10. In Krishna consciousness, everything is dynamic. Krishna guides the devotee in what to do first, what to do next on the platform of absolute truth. Hare Krishna. See the blessings of all the assembled devotees to speak something on this verse. It's an exalted subject matter to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam. What to speak of discussing the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, Srimad Bhagavatam is like the beautiful, non-different from the body of Krishna. Krishna Swadhamu Pagate Dharma Jnana Dibisa. Krishna left this planet and he has appeared in the form of this transcendental sound vibration. And the 10th canto is like the beautiful face of Sri Krishna. So, try to make some attempt with the blessings of Gurudev and all the assembled devotees. Here we find the description of this pastime of Ukhal Leela, how Krishna is eventually going to be bound by the love of Mother Yashoda. In the particular verse we are discussing today, Yashoda Mata is churning the butter and Krishna has appeared before her in order to increase her transcendental pleasure. And he caught hold of the churning rod and began to prevent her from churning. So here we see that everything is in bhakti is a process of exchange between the Lord and his devotee. As is being explained in the translation by Srila Prabhupada, that Krishna is appearing before Mother Yashoda in order to increase her transcendental pleasure. In other words, everything the Lord does is to increase the pleasure of his devotee. And everything the devotee does is to increase the pleasure of the Lord. So there's nothing else. Simply this process of the Lord, his devotee, and the exchange of love, prem. So Yashoda Mata is in a very fortunate position. As we know, Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, Vasudeva Devaki, and Kausalya, Dasharath, or in Gauri, Jagannath, Mishra, Shachi Mata, they are on the platform of Vatsalya Ras, the Ras in which, out of the desire of the Lord to accept the service from his devotee, the Lord assumes that he is the child. He is the child of his dear devotee. In the Bhagavad Gita, the same Lord is explaining, Pitaham Sarvas Jagata Mata Dhata Pitamaha. I am the mother, I am the father, I am the grandsire. Krishna is the creator of Lord Brahma. All the Prajapatis are ultimately coming from Krishna. And yet Krishna, out of his sweet desire, agrees to become the son of Mother Yashoda. Or earlier, the son of Devaki and Vasudev. So this is the greatness of the absolute truth. I remember many years back, I was doing some interfaith preaching, and I would visit some people from the Islamic background, and they would say that your Krishna cannot be God, because one of the things we learned about God from the Quran is that God has no mother, no father. So if your Krishna has a mother and father, that means he is not God. Proved, QED, that's it. So it may seem very mathematical, but then we understand from a higher perspective that Krishna does not have a mother, father. We also agree. Ajopi san avyayatma bhutanam ishwaropi san. Krishna explains, yes, I am Aja. I am unborn. He is Adi Purusha. But then he can be Adi Purusha and still he can also be the child. He can be the father and mother of everybody, be the original person and still be a son. This is another of the nature of the Lord. Yesterday, Surinas Radhanath Maharaj was explaining so beautifully the tattva of achintya, inconceivable. So extending that argument a little bit, we can see that this is also achintya. How someone can exist before everything else, and yet that same person can be a child. How the same person is controlling everything. In the third canto, Lord Kapila Dev explains that the vayu, the wind is blowing out of fear of me. The sun rises out of fear of Krishna. Everything is controlled by Krishna. And yet Krishna, when he is performing his childhood pastimes, he is dancing as per the desire of the gopis. When he is offered a small sweetmeat, in lieu of that sweetmeat, Krishna agrees to dance. That person who is creation of all the sweetmeats, who himself is very sweet, whose heart is very sweet, whose love is very sweet, and still is attracted by something small, insignificant, like a sweetmeat. That personality whom even Lord Brahma and Shiva meditate upon. We see in Braj Dham that Lord Shiva appears in Nandagaon in the form of a mountain, so that he could get the dust of Krishna and his devotees. Lord Brahma appears in Barsana as the four mountains, Dangad, Bhangad, Mangad, Vilasgad, so that he could get the dust of Krishna and Srimati Radharani. But that same personality, Krishna, he is anxious to get the dust of the feet of his devotees. He is thinking about serving his devotees. This is another aspect of achintya, that the Lord is simultaneously Sarveshwara Ishwara. Our predecessor acharyas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, describes Tumi Sarveshwara Ishwara Brajendra Kumar, that you are the Ishwara of all Ishwara. You are the Lord of all Lords. Yet, Krishna agrees to become subordinate to his devotees. This is the most striking aspect of the absolute truth, that out of love, Krishna wants to become subordinate to his devotees. In the pastimes of baby Krishna, sometimes Nanda Baba would ask him to bring wooden shoes, and Krishna would carry those shoes on his head and bring it for the pleasure of his devotee. In Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes also, Lord Chaitanya is undefeatable. He was, Nimai Pandit was so glorious. Practically, even as a student, he could defeat his professors. He was undefeatable. He was very proud, naughty. But that same Lord Nimai Pandit, when he meets Srila Ishwarapuri, Ishwarapuri has written a book called Krishna Lila Amrita. And knowing the talents of Nimai Pandit, he offers this book to Nimai Pandit. You please kindly edit this book. And Lord Chaitanya knows. He doesn't accept it immediately. He says that, how can there be any fault in the writing of a pure devotee? Murkavadati Vishnaya. Somebody says Vishnaya Nama. Somebody says Vishnave Nama. But the Lord is Bhavagrahi, so he accepts both. How can there be anything wrong? A pure devotee, whatever he writes, even if it is grammatically incorrect, it is perfect. Whereas writings of great poets and great writers, Shakespeare and others, even if they are materially very wonderful, they are considered to be like refuse or pilgrimage for crows. So, Nimai Pandit refuses. He says, no, but then still, on the insistence of Ishwarapuri, Lord Chaitanya accepts it. And then after some discussion, he gives it back saying, there's only one error, there's one small word, Atmanepad. It should be written as Parasmaipad. Ishwarapuri accepts the book and then again next day gives it back to him saying, I think what I've written is correct. And they have a discussion and Ishwarapuri convinces Nimai Pandit that the original word was correct and his correction was incorrect. And Nimai Pandit accepts it. And Nimai Pandit has defeated everybody. Recently, he defeated Keshav Kashmiri. But he accepts defeat. And the acharyas explain two reasons. One is because the Lord always likes to be defeated by his devotee. In Krishna Leela also, Krishna is defeated by Sridhama and his other cowherd boys in wrestling match. As you know, Krishna later will defeat Chanur, Mushtik and others who are like, were big personalities materially. Krishna is defeating Kovalyapid elephant. And compared to that, Sridhama is apparently not so big. But Krishna defeats the big wrestlers and accepts to be defeated by his devotee. Because the greatest power is the power of love. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, when Mukunda Dutt, Lord Chaitanya asks Mukunda Dutt to ask for a benediction, Mukunda Dutt says, I want that devotional service. Because it is the power of devotional service. The greatest power is not physical power, not even spiritual knowledge, not even tapasya or sadhana. It is pure devotional service. Because the greatest personality is Krishna, and Krishna is subordinate, becomes subordinate to one who has got bhakti. The one who asks for bhakti is asking for everything. He is asking for everything. So when Lord Chaitanya says, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, he is not denying anything. It's like somebody says, I don't want 1 paisa, 1 rupee, I just want 1 crore rupees. So he is rejecting 500 rupees, 1000 rupees, but actually he is getting that also. So Lord Chaitanya's logic is very simple. If you want Krishna, you have to give up everything. But in getting Krishna, you get everything. Either you take the small sets, like in mathematics you have set theory. There is subordinate set and there is universal set. In universal set, all sets are included. So Lord Chaitanya is asking for the universal set, Krishna. That includes everything. That includes all material and spiritual worlds. That personality who is now catching hold of Mother Yashoda's churning rod is that same personality from whom innumerable universes are emanating. So when a devotee wants Krishna bhakti, he is the most intelligent person. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is explained, Krishna jai bhaje sei bada chatur. That one who wants to serve Krishna, he is really intelligent. It's not that arey kuch nahi mila to chalo ye kar liya. So I could not get anything else, so I take to Krishna consciousness. No, this is the rarest jewel. So it's a question of understanding. Like Prabhupada once, some person was, there was a remark like, people in India, they are very lazy. The Prabhupada replied, he said, in Kumbh Mela you find that there are people who walk several hundreds mile in the cold weather and they take bath during that time when it's very austere. They are not lazy. They only know where to put effort. So devotee is very intelligent. Why should I waste my time in small things? You know, let me get the big thing. Aim for the rhinoceros. Aim for the highest thing. Krishna bhakti. So Lord Chaitanya accepted defeat for the first reason being because he wanted to show that how the Lord is subordinate to his devotee. And second thing, because he wanted to show that as a disciple, I should accept defeat from my spiritual master. Our Srila Prabhupada also accepted defeat from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur in Calcutta in that discussion. Prabhupada wanted to show the importance of the freedom movement, and Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur convinced him that real freedom is to become to take shelter of Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. And later Srila Prabhupada, when he went to America on one occasion on July 4, 1976, this the 200th anniversary of the independence of America, and Srila Prabhupada, he explained what is real independence. He said real independence means to declare our dependence on God, on Krishna. So when we read these pastimes, it simply should increase our desire to enter into these pastimes more and more. Here in the next verse, Srila Prabhupada translates that how Yashoda Mata embraced Krishna. When she saw that Krishna was eager, for some time she paid attention. She took Krishna on her lap and she began to feed Krishna. And Sneha, it is explained that because of that, Sneha Snutam Sasmitam. See how the language is also so beautiful. One of the ornament of a language, of a poetry, is alliteration, when the same syllable is repeated again and again. So you find a sneha, snutam, sa, smitam, like that. It is not some accident, but this shows the greatness of Srila Vyasadev, how he was divinely empowered. Again, coming back to the story of Mukunda Datta, Mukunda Datta explains that Vyasadev could compile these Vedic literatures because of the power of bhakti. Narad Muni could preach because of the power of bhakti. Ananta Shesh can hold innumerable universes on his hoods because of power of bhakti. So bhakti is all inclusive. Just like I remember we had one session here with His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, one Prerna festival, where the topic was perfect question, perfect answers. And somebody was asking about how karma yoga, dhyana yoga, karma and different yoga systems. And Maharaj was so beautifully explaining how bhakti yoga is all inclusive. All other are limbs, but bhakti is all inclusive. So in bhakti, everything is included. Because ultimately, the goal of life is to render devotional service. So one who has come to that platform of rendering devotional service, he has automatically surpassed jnana and yoga and karma. Somebody who has reached the top floor, he doesn't have to worry about what is there in the lower levels. Bhaktya mam abhi janati. Krishna says very clearly, only by pure devotional service can I, not jnani mam janati or karmi mam, scientist mam janati. No. Only one who has pure bhakti. So this pure bhakti, although it is so simple, at the same time, one has to be in that mood of Mother Yashoda, that intense mood. Without intensity, bhakti is superficial. It's like some milk with 1 liter milk with about 3-4 liters of water. You can call it milk, but it's not milk. In the present condition, being filled with so much material desires, our bhakti is very, it's not so much pleasing to Krishna. A devotee should think that let me offer the milk of my heart to Krishna, as Yashoda Mata is offering the milk of her breast. But right now our heart is filled with so many dirty things, so it's not really fit to be offered to the Lord. But by taking shelter of the spiritual master and by engaging in the process of hearing and chanting, gradually the heart becomes filled with pure bhakti. Pure bhakti is so rare. One of the six qualities of devotional service mentioned by Srila Rupa Goswami is sudurlabha. Very rare. Very rare even. All that is so simple. It seems like just come, sit, hear, chant. But it is so glorious. It is so exalted. And Krishna has arranged in such a way that it is very, very rare. It's very rare. Like yesterday, Maharaj was so beautifully explaining about the different planetary systems, the different rishis. See, one can go to the different planetary systems, even by other processes. But to enter into the spiritual world, one can only enter by the process of bhakti. So when Krishna gives somebody bhakti, he gives him everything. And that is why Krishna bhakti is so rare. It's only through the mercy of a pure devotee that one can get bhakti. To get bhakti, one has to be a beggar. We see in the life of Radhana Swami Maharaj, how he was, even before meeting Prabhupada, he was in the mood of a bhikshuk, in the mood of a beggar. And I was fortunate to be in Rishikesh about 3-4 months back when Maharaj was giving some talks in the International Yoga Conference. And one of the small programs, he was explaining how that incident which is described in his book, how the sadhu told him to give up his material dress and accept spiritual dress. So, you know, to get that mood of bhakti, one has to be willing to relinquish all other things. That mood of sarvadharman parityaja has to be there. And in that mood of giving up everything, just like if I have a glass which is filled with water, if I want to get some sweet rice or something very, very wonderful, I have to throw this water. So the heart, the title of one of the lectures which Maharaj was giving was emptying the heart. Emptying all the other things from the heart and filling it with bhakti. So, every day when we are chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. When we are chanting Hare Krishna, we are emptying out all the other anarthas from the heart, and simultaneously, mentally, physically we may be in the whatever posture we are, but mentally we are in the mood of a beggar, begging the spiritual master and begging the deities to give that pot of that nectar of bhakti. And even if it takes us 10 million lifetimes to get one drop of bhakti, it's worth it. It's worth it, because there's nothing else worth aspiring for. So in the purport to the second verse, Srila Prabhupada is explaining how Yashoda Mata, she left baby Krishna to take care of the milk. Now of course we understand Krishna wanted to drink the milk, but Yashoda Mata could see that there was some milk boiling, I have to take care, and that is also for Krishna. So Yashoda Mata seems to have some advanced management. She could understand that this is more important. So Prabhupada writes here in the purport, sometimes for a devotee has to do one thing first and another things later. It's not that she wanted to neglect Krishna, but just to take care of Krishna, she had to neglect Krishna. Just so that she could take care of the milk, which was also for Krishna, so for some time she had to keep Krishna aside. Prabhupada writes here, one must take care of one item of important business. One must take care of more than one item for the same purpose. So, the proper intuition by which one can do this is given by Krishna. And Prabhupada is quoting this famous verse. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. That dadami bun, I give the intelligence for those who are satata yuktana. So this word satata is very important, because actually pure devotional service by definition is uninterrupted. Presently we are in the state of sadhana bhakti, but pure bhakti means uninterrupted remembrance of the lotus feet of Krishna. A pure devotee cannot forget Krishna. Like one devotee asked Prabhupada that, how can we remember Krishna? Prabhupada said, I am surprised, how do you forget Krishna? Everything is Krishna. Prabhupada said, you are sitting on the ground, I feel I am sitting in the lap of Krishna. You see the wind, you can feel the presence of Krishna. Said, for a devotee, sthavar jangam dekhe na dekhe tara murti. Just like in this temple, how can you forget Krishna? Because the deities are there, the paintings are there, the devotees are there. So for a pure devotee, he is always in a temple. Like a year back, Tulnath Radhanath Maharaj was in Nigri and there was an inauguration of the temple, very beautiful temple. And Maharaj was explaining in the first line of the lecture that why we are inaugurating the temple. He began to say that the Supreme Lord is residing in the heart of all living beings, and to help us remember that, we are building this temple. In other words, the greatest truth is that the Lord is in everybody's heart. Prabhupada writes, Prabhupada told Gaur Govinda Maharaj this beautiful point. He said, what does a sannyasi mean? He said, sannyasi means one who remembers that Krishna is always with me. And yesterday and the day before, Radhanath Swami Maharaj was so beautifully explaining regarding the departure of these devotees. He said that, you know, we may speculate where they have gone, where they have taken birth, whether they have gone back to Godhead. But the important point is that Krishna is always with them. Krishna is always with them. Well, devotee should remember that Krishna is there with everybody, but specially he is there with his devotee. For one who has even once chanted Hare Krishna, Krishna can never forget that devotee. What to speak of these devotees who have practically given their lives in furthering Krishna consciousness. So, Maharaj was yesterday talking about this tattva of achintya. So, here we can see another thing is how the Supreme Lord, he is the proprietor of everything, and we see sometimes he performs this leela of stealing butter later on, makhanchur. How can a person who is the proprietor of everything be a thief? Is it not a contradiction? Like, suppose there is a report that the proprietor of this company was found stealing in his company. You know, so it's a contradiction. That's another nature of inconceivable. How can the Supreme Lord be the biggest and the smallest? So once this question was being discussed many years back when our ashram started, Radhanath Maharaj would take brahmachari classes for few of us were there. So somebody was asking, I think Radha Gopinath Prabhu was asking that, how the absolute, how the unknown who cannot be known become known, right? Something like that. And Maharaj was so beautifully explaining that if the infinite who can do everything, if he cannot make himself understandable, that is limiting the unlimited. The supreme unlimited becomes limited. Prabhuji will elaborate later on. Maybe my memory is not so good. You remember Maharaj explaining this point. So this is another aspect of achintya. And I was thinking about Radhanath Maharaj also. He was telling his name is Radhanath Swami, that is achintya. And also his book is achintya also. Because like Radheshyam Prabhu was asking this question, how a devotee like Narottam can write Narottam Karo Daya, Bhakti Vinod Daki Koye, Bhakti Vinod Thakur sings. So how can a pure devotee write his own name? It's like stamping himself, copywriting, you know. But Maharaj explained so beautifully that whatever is needed for the service. So we know Maharaj's nature for so many decades, how he likes to be alone. He shuns popularity. And yet he's writing books about himself, not to be kept in the godown, but to be distributed. Is that not also achintya? But that again, why is he writing is so that people can, through this story of how he came, people can be attracted to come to Krishna consciousness and ultimately chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. So pure devotee, whatever he does, it is for the pleasure of Krishna. Sometimes we see in Prabhupada Lilamrita also, Prabhupada would sometimes become very angry and sometimes he would be very soft. That is also achintya. But again, it is for the welfare of that devotee. Sometimes Prabhupada would be eager to meet president and prime ministers of different countries. And yet when in Dallas, Texas, a tree was cut in the compound of the temple, the tree was practically useless. There was no flowers, there were no leaves. When Prabhupada heard this, the tree was cut, he was so upset, he chastised the president that, why you have cut this tree? So he had concern not only for a materially great person, but also insignificant tree. There's one very beautiful book about the life of Prabhupada before ISKCON started. Our Srila Prabhupada, our friend Prabhupada, written by Mula Prakriti Mata. So there it's explained that when Srila Prabhupada was chanting japa, and one devotee brought some milk for him, and Prabhupada was so absorbed, practically he was weeping and he was not conscious of externals. And as there was a small scorpion which was coming near to Srila Prabhupada, and this devotee was bringing milk, he was thinking whether I should inform Srila Prabhupada or whether I should not disturb him, but if you don't disturb, the scorpion may come and bite Prabhupada. So he said, Swamiji, or, and Prabhupada opened his eyes and said, a scorpion here, a scorpion. Prabhupada looked, and then he asked whether I should take it away, brush it away. So Prabhupada smiled and said, no, he is also a devotee. So this was Prabhupada's vision. He could see that even the scorpion was a devotee. Sometimes we have the tendency to think otherwise also. You know, we may think that this devotee, I will not say further, he is harassing me, or I don't like him, you know. So Prabhupada had this vision. Once he was walking down the road and he saw a small slug, and Prabhupada stopped and told the devotees, chant for the slug. So this is the nature. We cannot externally understand great personalities. Sometimes they appear, like we see in Vrindavan temple pastime, Yamuna Mataji, Gurudas Prabhu, they were helping the project, and Prabhupada would become so angry. Sometimes it appeared that devotees were afraid to go near Prabhupada. Even Yamuna Mataji also, they were thinking, they were so angry. But yet we can understand that this was also another aspect of a great personality. When Prabhupada came to Juhu, I was fortunate to have darshan of Prabhupada. And Prabhupada came to the temple and he said, I want to go to my room. And his rooms were not ready. And the devotees purposefully took him to the old place where he was staying. They passed by the new ISKCON buildings. And Prabhupada said, no, I want to go back there. They are not ready. And then Prabhupada said, no, I want to go right there. They were going, and Prabhupada went there and there was construction going on, the sound of machines. Prabhupada said, no, I want to stay here. And it may appear like contradiction. A sadhu should not demand anything for himself. He should just be smiling always, whatever happens. You know, that's the will of the Lord. You know. But this is another aspect. And finally, Prabhupada moved in there, stopped and stayed for one day. And then he said, okay, now I'm going to South Bombay. You can finish the construction. And he gave them time. So everything about a pure devotee is also inconceivable. And everything about the Lord also. How the Lord can defeat so many times Jarasandha and then run away. Simultaneously, he is always Vijaya, he is always victorious, one of the names of the Lord. And the simultaneously is Ranchod. Simultaneously, he is glorified as one who is very humorous, one of the 64 qualities. And another quality of the Lord is very Dhira, he is very grave also. So apparently, there are contradictions. He is all-pervading, he is impersonal, but yet he is a person. He is the smallest, but yet he is in Vamana Dev, he is assumed the biggest form. So everything about the Lord is achintya. And the fact that we can understand a drop of it, that is also inconceivable. Because it is not by our efforts. Athapi te deva padambuja prasada lesha anugrat evahi. One who gets a drop of that mercy, he can understand. Little bit about this. the departure of the devotees. I, couple of years back, I had gone to the same place, Muktinath, for darshan, and I was also to the same flight, Agni, from Pokhara to Jomsom, and with some devotees. And it's really, the place is very mysterious in the sense, between two mountains, the river Gandaki flowing, and the airstrip is also very small, and the landing area is very limited, as you know. But I was thinking, in one sense, how glorious is, externally there may be reasons, yes, there was some failure in the plane, the wheels did not come out at the right time, the turning was not done properly, whatever. But of course we understand, as Maharaj explained, this inconceivable plan of the Lord. And I was thinking this morning also that this place, River Gandaki, is from where all the Shalagram Shilas come. In fact, Gopal Bhatt Goswami got Radharaman, the Shalagram Shila, from Gandaki River. Right? From Gandaki River he got. So in one sense, this river Gandaki is Yamuna, because the Lord Shalagram is appearing from there. In another sense, the mountain is Govardhan. You know? So in one sense, we all want to be near Govardhan. So for here, Krishna wanted to embrace these devotees, take them back to his abode. So it may sound like, yesterday Radha Krishna Prabhu was saying a very nice point. I was discussing with him that there are some other people who are also to be on the flight. They could not go for some reason. And there was one devotee actually from Pune who was on the flight. He had a ticket, but there was some misunderstanding. He was not allowed to board. They were saying that he was fortunate. Radha Krishna Prabhu was saying, it depends on how you see who is more fortunate. You know, they are also fortunate because the Lord wanted to take them back to him. Or in any sense, whether the Lord takes them back to his abode or whether it takes them to continue service elsewhere, it is actually non-different. Like, just like, you know, somebody may be preaching in one place and then he goes to another city, like Maharaj is here till Sunday, then you go to United States, but he'll do the same work, just a change of centers. For a devotee, death means change of centers, with a change of cloth, you know, change of shoulder bag, you know. This is a bag which Krishna may want to change. Of course, it's tragic, it's painful also. At the same time, we can understand, as Maharaj so nicely explained, that for a devotee, wherever he is serving Krishna. Narayana para sarve na kutashana bibhyati swarga pavarga narakeshu apitulyardashana. For a devotee, heaven, hell, any planets, he's remembering Krishna. Like, I remember when Prabhupada was saying in one lecture that wherever you are, if you simply chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Wherever you are, this is a very beautiful book which has just been printed by the BBT called Chanting Hare Krishna. Some excerpts from Prabhupada on chanting. So Prabhupada mentions in this book a very nice point related to today's purport. Like the verse Priti Purvakam. Prabhupada is giving an explanation of what does Priti Purvakam mean. This was a lecture given by Srila Prabhupada in Mayapur in the year 1973. Prabhupada says, Krishna is always ready to help us, provided we are ready to cooperate with him. If we cooperate with what Krishna wants, if you want to do little, Krishna will help you. If you work 1%, Krishna will help you 10%. If you work 1% more, Krishna will help you another 10%. But the 10% credit you will get, then Krishna will give you full intelligence. In other words, when we chant little bit, with some attention, Krishna is pleased. But when you give 100%, 100% focus on the holy name, then you get intelligence, direction from Krishna. Krishna gives the intelligence, the dami buddhi yogam, to those who are constantly engaged. To ordinary persons, he may not give such intelligence. And then Prabhupada says, if you are engaged satatam, sarvadharman parityajya, and Prabhupada explains, giving up all nonsense business, if you are engaged in Krishna's business, priti purvakam. And then Prabhupada writes specially about Hare Krishna, he comments, it should not be hackneyed. Prabhupada says, it should not be, here is a duty, I have to finish, all right, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Prabhupada makes a sound. He says, it should be with priti. And then Prabhupada explains, please listen to this one line very carefully. Prabhupada says, priti means chant every name Hare Krishna and hear. Prabhupada says, Hare Krishna means, here is Krishna, here is Radharani. That kind of chanting is called Priti, quality chanting. Not, and then Prabhupada again says, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Prabhupada makes the sound. Priti means with attention. That is the essential quality. So, it's very important that ultimately it all boils down to sincere chanting of the holy name. I was thinking the day this incident happened, 14th of May, I was also, these devotees took the flight at around 9 in the morning, and I was also at the airport. I took a flight from Delhi at 9, and I landed at 11, and then I got the news that this incident took place. I was also airborne at that time. So I was thinking Krishna is teaching me also that any time I may be called to go to the next destination. Devotees should always be in a state of preparedness. Constantly should be thinking that what does Krishna want me to do now? Any minute death can come. There is no guarantee. Padam, yesterday Maharaj was explaining so beautifully, Padam, Padam, Yadvipadam. Any minute death can come. You may say, okay, I will not go to that area. And that is good also. Maharaj explained some policies to be made. We should try to avoid to go to such places which there is danger. But then on the other hand, that doesn't negate the fact that death can come any time. The supreme policy should be to always chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare. One may avoid flights altogether, but just the day before yesterday, there was a train accident, one train going from Bangalore to Hospet, and unfortunately more than 25 people were killed. Literally, they were charred, there was fire. So, now you may say, I will avoid train, but if you go in a car, there are many car accidents. And if you avoid car, you go on a motorcycle, there are many accidents. And if you are just walking down the street, somebody may lovingly come to embrace you. So, there's nothing. You just lie down in your room and then you have a pleasant heart attack. So there's no solution. It's just a matter of time. It may be May 14th, or today is 25th May, 2012, or maximum how much can you live? We cannot hope to live 100 years. So maximum we may live for 50, 60, 70. Most of us have already spent more than half of our lives. So now we should just be ready that, Krishna, please tell me, where is my next service? And whenever Krishna calls, we leave the body chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Thank you. Any questions or comments? I would like to explain that point. Radha Gopinath Prabhu will explain this point about how the unlimited becomes limited. Mike. Can speak in this mic.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. He was saying that how if the unlimited cannot make the limited understand the unlimited, then he is not unlimited. He is limited then. Hare Krishna.
It's a limited answer.
Meaning.
Prabhu is saying with unlimited meaning. Any other comments or questions? Adisham Prabhuji would like to. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.